Welcome all of you kings and queens to this episode of Nerd Management. I'm Alec Warden.
I'm Warner Forbes.
I'm Rob Roka.
Preston's with us today.
I'm not part of that.
You're what? Preston?
Yeah, I'm not.
That's right, I forgot about
the handsome half of Preston.
I'm not.
I do not condone.
He doesn't. Approach. He doesn't approve.
I'm so frustrated by that.
He doesn't approve.
Frank and Chris.
So, speaking of things
back
that
from the dead.
Speaking of things that frustrate me.
Okay. Subway.
So, the last 3 days, like I've been finding it hard to find orange Kickstart, Mountain Dew Kickstart, which is my version of coffee.
Sure. Also cancer.
And it's like...
Also death.
It keeps getting more and more scarce, and I'm like, what's happening here? Something's not right. And then it started to get, like, the flashback parts of I Am Legend. And I was like, I'm getting nervous. Well, then today I find out, after I can't find any in all of Johnson County, I find out that the Central Indiana bottling company that does all of Pepsi's stuff...
Oh, yeah. My dad works there.
Apparently not right now. They're on strike.
On strike.
Tell your dad whatever he wants, he can have it. I want my Kickstart back. So what's happened is I can't get Kickstart anywhere. So today I find out that the gas station just in front of my work has opened their final case of Kickstart from before the strike. I immediately ran over after work, and I had forgotten my wallet at home because of a long story that I'm not going to tell you about. But Tim and I on our lunch break is at the same time now, we found out. So, anyway, wallet at home, I go to the gas station, and then I'm like, no, I don't have my wallet. I run back, get my wallet, come back to the gas station in front of my work, and there are 8 cans of Kickstart. And I grabbed them, and I must have had Smeagol eyes when I came up to the counter, because the guy's looking at me like I'm rabid, and I'm just like, my precious. And I put him on the counter, and he's like, he doesn't even want to count them because he doesn't want to get close because he's afraid I'm going to bite his hands off. And he's just like, how many you got? And I was like, 8. And he's like, okay.
All right, man. All right, dude.
And he's like, receipts in the bag. Drop the mic. I'm out. And I was like, all right. And so that's all I've got. I've got to ration that now until Chris's dad decides he wants to go back to work. I don't know.
My dad was on vacation when all this was happening.
I saw your dad the other day. Also, I saw...
My stepdad, not...
Oh, now I'm confused.
Yeah, no. He's a bigger guy. He fits more of the mold of this crew.
Okay. I saw your Dave Grohl dad, and I think I saw your brother who is going to play me in the music video.
Yeah. Perfect.
Except for this... I'm such a movie geek, you can tell, because I was like, he's got blue eyes. I got... Pit, soul-sucking, black hole eyes. He's got blue eyes. People are going to notice.
No one's going to care.
I don't think they will. But yeah, he was perfect. I was staring at this little boy across from me at Taco Bell that didn't know me and was like, yep, that looks like he could be a good me.
You really think that's what happened?
I know.
But then your dad nodded at me, so I think
your
brother was like, okay, my dad knows this guy. It's not super creepy that he's staring at me.
No, it's kind of, and I mean, as I told you, that's all confirmed now.
Yeah, so your brother will know me and be like, oh, you're the creepy guy that's staring at me at Taco Bell.
What was the strike about?
Well, there wasn't a strike.
I don't really know what the deal is, but...
I think they're renegotiating union fees and stuff like that.
I see.
But Pepsi's being a real turd about it, and so now, thank you, Pepsi, I can't have my Kickstarts in the morning. Well, now I gotta ration them. I gotta, like, drink them out of, like, communion cups, just a little bit at a time, just, like, because I can't drink a full can, because I gotta make it last.
This week on Doomsday Planners.
Well, you guys know that there wasn't a strike, right? You gotta read the right news. So there's this really crazy local gang called the Acorn Gang, right? Okay. They went and they bought all the Kickstarters up, and now they're selling them at a higher price.
No.
Yes! That's what really happened.
This just in, blogger Michael just texted me, and the end of this story was, the only thing you can still find is the Fruit Punch Kickstart because it's crap, right?
I disagree. The Fruit Punch is still good.
It goes in this order. The orange one is amazing, like the best beverage that's ever existed.
The green one
is good. The cherry one is like meh, and the Fruit Punch is just unbearable.
No, cherry's the worst. Cherry's the worst artificial flavor that's ever been created by mortal man.
A grape. I'm really...
Oh, I could go for a grape Kickstart.
I'm going to chain you to the radiator, and I'm going to grape you in the mouth.
If a grape Kickstart existed, I'd be so happy. But that's neither here nor there. Blogger Michael, breaking news, just texted me, said Pepsi has completely canceled the Fruit Strike? Punch Kickstart. Because orange, lime, and cherry all sell thousands to one of the fruit punch.
I'm seeing a trend with you. There's Yummy Mummy, who everyone knows is the orange cereal, and then Kickstart, or the orange Kickstart. I think you just like orange.
That's true.
Orange is a great artificial
flavor.
One day
I was in a meeting at work, and I had those orange crackers that have the cheese in them.
Those are delicious.
And a Kickstart.
The peanut butter's better.
And my boss looked at me funny, and I said, what? He goes, you do realize... Gee. My boss was like, you do realize your whole snack is just orange. And I was like, that's all I eat. And we had a good laugh about it, but then I was like, what if someone, like, they only consumed one color? Wouldn't that be awesome?
There was a Scrubs episode where this guy only drank tomato juice and then ate a lot of carrots.
Yeah.
And it made him orange. It was great.
Nice. He looked like the Jersey Shore.
He looked
people.
Like... He was straight up Oompa Loompa.
Nice.
For sure.
For you.
That's pretty legit. Doopity-doo.
So anyway... But so, anyway, hopefully Chris's dad gets to get back to work and I get to get back to drinking Kickstarts to get me through work and everything will be good for kosher.
Never forget, guys.
We'll
see what happens. R.I.P. Never
No, forget. Kickstart is going to be fine, guys. It'll be fine.
Here's how I have a bad support. Feeling. There was a drink that was cheaper and better than them all with Coca-Cola and it got canned. Actually, it didn't get canned.
Oh, call him Frank Castle because he's the pun-isher. Am I right?
Anyways,
have you guys ever had
Vault?
Vault. Vault was pretty good.
Vault was like candy, it was like Skittles in liquid form.
My problem with Vault was that it wanted so hard to be Mellow Yellow while Mellow Yellow was gone.
It didn't want
to
be
Mellow
Yellow.
It was like,
Yellow.
I'm the new Mellow Yellow, embrace me. And I was like, you're not though. I love you, Vault. You're a sweetheart, but you're not Mellow Yellow.
I think you weren't the target audience because you didn't get their branding at all.
Vault was the Buffalo Bill of sodas. It's got Mellow Yellow. Hey, buddy.
I drink me so hard.
Dang it.
Would you?
10 out of 10 would drink again.
Ten out of 10 would lotion again. Am I right?
Have you guys ever had a fish and treat? Fish and treat is the jam.
Yeah. That's some
carbonated fruit punch.
It's delicious.
Well, there's a lot of things at the Dollar Tree.
Welcome
I can tell
to
you.
Soda management.
Yeah, right.
Everyone.
Can management.
Hashtag cancel Kickstart management. Okay, so let's talk about Game of Thrones for a little bit. That'll get our listeners back.
Big episode.
Yeah.
Apparently not to a lot of people.
No, I don't. Now I get it.
I enjoy. Yeah, once you explained to me what was all going on, then I was on board 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you just getting into it?
No, I'm not stupid. I promise. I just.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things that I get confused about it, and then once somebody's like, "Oh no, this is what happened,"
didn't fully grasp the gravity of the situation though when we watched it together though because
it's because you're a loser.
Well, we were talking. We started talking immediately after, but we didn't really cover what had gone on. So I didn't fully grasp that. Basically, Littlefinger is responsible
all the dice.
For everything.
Yeah. Remember in season two.
Moving up that ladder of chaos. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember in season two, Admiral Eunuch, aka No Peen.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was an admiral.
The bald baller.
Him and Tyrion were talking.
The bald no baller.
The bald no baller.
Him and Tyrion were talking near the throne, and he said, Peter Baelish is the most dangerous man in Westeros. And finally...
Littlefinger, big ambition, am I right?
Yeah.
Littlefinger,
big daggers.
Littlefinger, big dreams.
What do they call him, Littlefinger? Has that ever been...
Because
he's just really big into pinkies, like...
Yep.
It's Littlefinger.
We'll leave it... This is another example of what you're talking about being confused. I want you to figure that one out on your own. It'll be more fun that way.
You figure it out.
Because I believe in you.
I'm
going to be honest. I'm not going to read into
but
it.
But you don't have to.
Tell us more.
But basically, we find out that Littlefinger was pretty much behind everything. He was behind the Lannister-Stark War. Him and Lysa killed the first Hand of the King, her husband.
Avengers versus X-Men.
So Littlefinger is in such a great position because he's basically killed most of his competition, and now he is he's basically barricaded in the most impenetrable fort in all of Westeros.
Pit.
Right.
Pretty much.
And they mentioned that the path to the castle is just a narrow pathway where you can only have three men side to side. So it doesn't matter if they have, you know, a million men invading. Yeah. They could just pick them off as they go.
Yeah.
So basically, let dragons come and burn a nade across the top.
Exactly.
A dragon could fly up under into the pit and kill them all in the throne room where that
I don't
lady,
know, that pit's pretty tiny.
That was pretty good.
That was a pretty good ring wraith. I enjoyed that.
Little fact that I learned from Chris when I was watching Game of Thrones with him and I was making fun of the kid that is like 10 years old and still breastfeeds.
Yeah.
Robin? Jordan, Michael Jordan.
Until he's 6 and a half.
Breastfed until he's 6 and a half. Huh. So apparently it makes you a really great athlete.
Huh.
I guess it makes you a really big chode too.
Thanks, Mom.
They're playing the way by fastball right now.
Yeah.
It's
probably not showing up on the podcast, but it is happening.
But yeah, basically.
A lot of things
are coming into play.
The song?
I think
fastball.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
I'm full of hate. I'm sorry.
Man. I was going to say Wings, but I don't think it's a Wings song.
Also, my moment of the glory for the week.
Yeah.
Dat Podrick. Podrick and Brienne is now probably, other than the Hound and Arya, they're probably my favorite part of Game of Thrones right now. I really like the chemistry between Podrick and...
when he was showing the boot to that rabbit, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
None quite the chemistry.
Rabbit. do you guys have anything to say about it?
No, I wanted to talk about, and without you guys, did you read the books, Chris?
I don't. I have no intention to.
Okay, but I know, obviously, Rob.
I've read all the books.
What I'm wondering, and without you giving us away, and maybe we can talk about it or
the best part is, just so you know, I think you know, not all the books are written.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Eventually the show will be writing the books.
Right, exactly.
The uber book nerds cannot be like...
Right, eventually...
They can't hold you down and tickle you.
We still got it for a couple years, don't worry.
Right, well, and even I think like the past couple episodes, they've diverged a little bit, right?
It's, okay, it's,
they've
it's
sped
very...
up a little bit to show you things that will be there.
Right.
Like the Ice King, basically.
Right.
Which is actually, yeah, spoiled. I mean, that's not even a thing in the books. Yes.
From Adventure Time?
The Knights...
from World of Warcraft.
The Knights, the Knights King... It's not even in the books.
Okay.
So,
well, what I want to talk about was I want to know what Littlefinger's endgame is.
King,
to
right?
control
that's
everything.
All of it.
That's everyone's endgame.
That's what he said in the last episode. I mean, and that's been his ambition from the beginning. He's like, what do you want?
Everything.
Can I just say, I'm so glad that Daenerys finally came around and was like, wait, I have the whole East.
Yeah.
Why don't I just sit here and just be the queen of this for a while? Because that's what the whole time I'm like, you already have so much. Wait a second.
It wasn't that. It was basically every city she'd go to after she left, it would get repopulated and re-enslaved.
Yeah.
So, you know, how could she possibly take over Westeros if she can't hold these three cities?
Yeah.
So it wasn't more of like, I'm happy here. It's more like, how can I do this thing over the Narrow Sea if I can't do it here right now with three cities?
Yeah. And her hope, from what it sounds like, she wants to go over there, and I think she's still hopeful that her namesake will be what gives her the seat to the throne.
Yeah.
Like, right. So that's why she's like, I want to prove that I can rule, because then they'll be like, all right.
You got it.
As it stands, she is the honest rule
right.
to the throne.
Right.
She's the only good guy in the show.
What's going
to
suck is,
to an extent,
I have a feeling it's either going to be her versus the Starks in the end, or those two together versus the Lannisters and...
Well, you got to keep in mind, the Starks...
There's not a whole lot of Starks right now, anyway.
Spoilers from 7 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a whole lot. There's what, like...
Spoiler alert, two of them.
But yeah, it's
been...
Three
John
Starks
and
Bran.
It's been made very apparent that the Starks have no desire to rule.
Yeah.
All of... They just want to do their own thing in Winterfell.
Yeah.
A couple branch out, but yeah. So...
Because there's a lot to do there now.
Meh. See?
In other TV news,
Or are you guys done talking?
Gilmore Girls is real good right now.
I don't think it's still on.
I think it is. I think it's on season 15.
Yeah.
Maybe on WGN Chicago.
Yeah.
So my question is, let's get some put your name on it time. What? This season's about halfway through.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So, and there's always one big shoe fall. We've already had one with Joffrey. What do you predict will be the big like shoe fall moment.
Well, that's not fair.
For the
Rob
season.
Can't do that.
I won't say anything.
Okay.
I'm just gonna sit here like a turd.
Well, this is why it's more fun.
Okay.
You guys nerd manage, I'll turd manage.
Okay. I'll bird manage.
I'll curd manage. Just get some cheese.
So, I don't think they'll kill Tyrion. I don't. I think with.
I don't think so either, and here's my theory. My book reading friends have said, oh man, if you're a Tyrion fan, you're gonna be nervous all season. Which, if I'm gonna be worried about him, I'm not gonna be worried if he's dead, then I'm just done.
Right.
You know?
So I don't think they'll kill him. I think they may kill Jaime.
Is that your big shoe fall moment? I need some authority.
I like Jaime.
I need you to say what will happen.
Yeah, I like Jaime a lot, especially over the past, I think, two seasons. Once he kind of stopped being a doucher and, you know, started with, going with Bran or whatever.
We say all this and he raped his sister.
Well, that's true. That's
which didn't
true.
Happen in the books,
right,
by
exactly,
the way.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of pissed me off a little bit. But.
So that's what I think is going to happen.
What about you, Warner?
I'm going to just say... shoot, I don't know. I was going to say Bran dies, but I don't think so. Right. That's not going to happen.
I say Jaime, by the way, because I think we're learning that Cersei's the more... She's really the kind of...
She's
her and Tywin are really the big bads, I think. So I think he's kind of... that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know, yeah. I'm going to go with... Bran and Hodor on their own because the twins die.
Okay.
Hodor.
Why am I forgetting her name? Blonde girl who married Joffrey. Incredibly attractive. What's her name?
Marjorie Tyrell.
Marjorie.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to
say
her.
Well, Marjorie Baratheon.
Baratheon.
Excuse me.
Right, right. I think she's actually not going to make it. I think she's not going to make it.
Yeah. Aww. You think that they're going to see like that she's been kind of... Or you think Cersei is going to see? Like,
I think and I hate Cersei is my least favorite character and has been from the beginning.
But I think she's
Joffrey's like the necessary evil. Like you're like, oh man, like how far down the rabbit hole will he go? Yeah. Cersei is like,
I think she's the scratch my leg. I think she's the Palpatine to Joffrey's Vader. I think
I do have a prediction. I think that Sir Pounce is going to be King of Westeros with his little crown on his little throne. It's going to be great.
Okay.
Sir Pounce.
Who's Sir Pounce?
Oh, good.
He's the cat.
He's the little boy's cat.
The cat that broke up that, like, rapey...
You know he was
sexual
just,
tension scene?
He was just at, like, full mast right there. You know that, right?
The cat? What?
Sir Pounce is like, I'll save you, Tommen! And he hops on the bed and...
Don't nut, Sir Pounce!
Daddy! So anyway, in other
news... Don't look JT the fifth!
in other news...
In other words...
speaking of which, we got a James Tynion the fourth interview coming up soon.
After the break,
First, before we go to the
hopefully
break...
Hopefully the fifth, too. Fingers
before we
crossed.
Go to the break, let's talk about the shows that have not even started yet, but have already gotten picked up for full seasons.
Yeah.
The Flash just got picked up for a full season without the pilot even airing yet.
Yeah, I think you can pretty much attribute that all to Arrow.
Oh, absolutely.
100% to Arrow.
They just keep looking at the Arrow numbers and going, everyone loved the Flash episode of Arrow, and Arrow just keeps going, getting better. Flash is going to be a success.
What I'm surprised at, and... this was actually a story that was posted to nerdmanagement.com, was that Gotham was picked up.
And here's why I think that happened, is because everyone's like, Gotham might be good, but Fox cancels everything, so who cares? And I think Fox was like doing a show of faith and just saying, look, you are going to get a full season, we promise.
Yeah.
And I think that was just Fox like having to prove to people that they're actually not going to cancel it.
Yeah.
And then Constantine got picked up for a full season.
I'm actually super, and I don't.
That one I'm really excited for.
I'm not a huge Constantine fan, but I'm actually super excited for that show. I really am.
It needs a late slot, like at 9 o'clock.
Oh yeah,
on NBC Saturday night or something.
I will say, and it's going to be an unpopular opinion, but I know all of you really love Arrow right now.
I don't.
You don't.
I haven't watched it.
Well, you
don't like it.
You're the worst. So okay.
So it's okay.
I'm liking the portrayal of comic book characters better on television than I do movies. Yeah. That might be an unpopular opinion.
No, right now it is. They're doing it right.
Arrow is the Macho Man Randy Savage, cream of the crop. I mean, it's just every night is boom, boom, boom. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it is.
And I think Flash could be that, too.
I agree.
So it could be the superhero version of that, because Arrow's more like a street level, gritty.
Well, and I like television's delivery better than movies. Movies, it's, oh, you go in and you pay your, you know, $400 million to sit next to some people playing on their phones, right, and you watch it for 2 hours. Or you could sit at home and an hour a week, you get all the characters you want. I like the delivery system better.
I will say, I hope that The Flash is much more lighthearted than Arrow. I love Arrow, but it's very dark.
Well, it has to be.
Oh my gosh, Barry Allen?
Well, just look at that one episode, or those two episodes he was in.
It was already...
They were just way more, like, filled with, like, lightheartedness.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I think he's going to be great.
So, the season finale for Arrow is next week.
Yep.
Since we kind of asked the same thing like about Game of Thrones, what do you think the big shakeup at the end of the season? Because there's going to be something.
You know?
Did you see the teaser trailer? Clearly, there's a team up.
Yeah.
Clearly, the League is involved.
Yeah.
And Roy is back.
And Roy has a freaking bow. Yeah.
And he's got his red hood.
Yes.
And a mask. And the Domino mask.
Yeah. So he's clearly going to be Red Arrow now.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they'll call him. Do you think they'll call him Speedy or Arsenal?
I think they'll call him Arsenal.
You think they'll call him Arsenal?
Yeah, I think so.
Because doesn't he... Correct me if I'm wrong, but he transitions... When he breaks apart from
right, but he can't be called Red Arrow because they don't call Oliver Green Arrow. They call him Arrow.
Right.
So are they going to call him Arrow Jr.?
They may.
Don't look, AJ!
I think they may call him Red Arrow, though.
I don't know. Maybe.
Or just Red Hood.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Red Arrow, don't look!
Because I've got my theory on what's going to happen at the end of the season.
I think, you know what? I don't think that Thea killed Merlin.
No.
I think she shot that guy.
No, spoilers,
behind.
By the way,
if you look at the lineup, Merlin is clearly next to Roy. It looks just like Merlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not.
And they wouldn't have killed him off screen. That would be so lame.
Yeah.
I think, dude, I'm going to put my name on it. I've been going back and forth. I think Laurel's going to die.
That's what I was going to say. I think
Laurel's gonzo's.
Because she's finally redeemed.
She's finally redeemed.
That's how they always do it.
At first I thought it was going to be Sarah.
And she knows who... She knows who Arrow is.
At first I thought it was going to be Sarah, but she, like... She had that moment where she's like, no, Sarah is the canary.
Yeah.
And so that's established now. Like, she can't... That character's got to keep going.
Yeah.
So I think Laurel's going to die. And I saw an interview with her where it was like, we talk about the future of her character, and if she thinks Laurel should ever die, and all this stuff, like whatever the interview was, and I was like, why would that even come up if it wasn't a possibility?
Well, and of course, now that she's no longer annoying, now she's going to go away.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't have been karate chopped in the throat while she was drunk, pill-popping Laurel.
But no,
I'm here, Oliver!
I completely 100% agree with you. I think she'll die. I don't think Thea will die, because... That would be too much.
That would be it. Like, Oliver would have
to
go.
It would be too much like Batman. Yeah.
I will say, I don't think Slade's going to die.
No, they've got to keep him around.
I think that Ollie will try one more time to redeem Slade. I think even after, I think that would be the cherry on top.
Now, Michael made a good point. We were talking about it today. He said that. When Deathstroke killed Moira, that he said, now only one other person has to die for this to end.
Right.
You think it's maybe him?
Well, that's what Michael said, is he almost felt as if that was Slade being like, you have to kill me. You created me. You have to kill me.
Well, and even in this episode, he said, because Ollie asked, you know, what did he mean by that? And he meant the person you love the most. So, I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know. Borderline, the show's fantastic.
Yeah.
Moment of Glory?
Moment of Glory, then we'll take a break.
Okay.
Real quick, this week's Moment of Glory. Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man #1 came out.
Yep. Also, spoilers for Ultimate Spider-Man.
Big time spoilers.
We're just full of spoilers. This episode.
Yeah. The end of the issue, Miles is... attempting to find his father, goes back to his apartment, and hears someone rustling around in the back, has his mask off. And he's like, who is this guy? And he's like, oh crap, I should put my mask on. And then the guy turns around and he's like, I'm just looking for my stuff. And it's Peter Parker, who in the Ultimate Universe has been dead for 2 years easy, maybe 3 now.
I'll do a little backstory just in case anybody doesn't know, but yeah, in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker was shot by Green Goblin. Also, Norman Osborn was in this
issue. Yeah, he's back to being the Goblin
again. Very heavily. So, but anyway, and then pretty much after that, Miles Morales comes in and becomes the Ultimate Spider-Man. And the last issue that came out last month was the 200th issue. It was like a oversized issue. And basically it was centered around, it's been 2 years. So it was 2 years since Peter Parker was shot and killed. And so all of his family go to Aunt May's house and have like a memorial service where they remember him and, you know, tell like stories. And I didn't really love that issue anyway, but that's whatever. But at the very end of the issue, everybody's leaving the house. What? Everybody's leaving the house, and across the street there's a shadowy figure, we don't see who it is, that's looking into Aunt May's house. And it was pretty much assumed that it was going to be Peter Parker. It even had like the 1990s Chris Hardwick hair drapes.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of this issue it was revealed it was Peter Parker. I don't know what he's laughing at me for, but I want to know.
Just go on. I'm sorry.
10 out of 10 would take a break.
Memorial barbecue.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Ham, fist, and wings.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, if you like all the stuff we've been talking about tonight, make sure you get your comics from Comic Book University in the Greenwood Place Shopping Center at 7623 Shelby Street.
And if you'd like to buy them digitally, you can go to comicbooku.com.
And also, make sure to check out our affiliates at fanboyfactor.com if you want to see comic book reviews, toy reviews, news, and all that kind of stuff.
If you want all of your nerd news, know-how, general updates, and any of our podcasts, you can go to our website at www.nerdmanagement.com. That is www.nerdmgmt.com.
Hi guys, this is Alec, Warner, and Rob, and we're sitting here
with James Tynan IV.
How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been an amazing free comic book day.
It really has. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's been successful for everybody, so that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we came in here today with, I think they got they got a big stack of advanced copies of my new creator-owned series, The Woods, and they're all gone now. So that awesome. I am absolutely thrilled.
We missed out. We're gonna have to get it on Wednesday. All the rest of the world.
Well, at least it's not a long wait anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Please talk as much as you want about it, because Phyllis, we haven't been able to.
Just give us like a synopsis.
Yeah. I mean, the basic premise is a Midwestern high school gets transported into the middle of an alien forest. And then all the students inside need to basically decide how to figure out who brought them there and why. So a group of them go off out into the woods to try to get to the bottom of the mystery, because there's no clear signal. No one's coming out of the woods saying this is why you're here. It's all, nobody knows. It's a mystery from page one. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, it's really exciting. It's a series I've been working on behind the scenes for about 2 years, and that's something I'm very, very excited about finally coming out. So,
when does it actually come out?
This Wednesday, May 7th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really, okay, that's great. And this will be up before then, so...
Yeah, you know, okay, awesome.
Out a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't wait to pick it up.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
What made you want to work in the comic book industry?
I mean, it's... I can't really think of a time when I haven't wanted to work in comics. I grew up with... I mean, superheroes mainly, but... that was, you know, I was an X-Kid in the 90s. That's what, you know, the X-Men animated series and all of that. I just absolutely adore them. I mean, hell, one of my first memories is actually walking into a comic book store with my dad in Manhattan. And there was actually the big cardboard cutout of Spider-Man, and it terrified me. I had no idea like what it was or why, and I had nightmares about Spider-Man for weeks after that. But you know, that was enough to leave an impression that's made me want to stay.
Sure.
But yeah, it was in high school that I really discovered some of the more literary edge of comics, particularly the Vertigo books, and those are the stories that really made me want to write comics, because I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I did end up going to school for writing and with a focus in prose. So that's where I started. That's where it all began.
Sure.
You mentioned being an X-Men fan. They mentioned at C2E2 at the 3 Months to Die panel.
Yeah.
That you were involved in something X-related. Is there anything you can talk about that?
All I can say is that it's going to come out of the last part. It's going to spin out of what Charles Soule is doing in The Death of Wolverine. So I can't really touch on any specifics, but it's like that's where the impetus for this story is, and I'm incredibly excited to be a part of it.
Awesome. Now, I actually, the first time I got introduced to your work was through Talon. What was it like kind of writing basically a brand new character? I mean, just getting a brand new kind of character that's introduced into Batman, Batverse, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing challenge because you want to create something that has the power to last for, you know, you want, if you're going to put it, rather, most of the time in superhero comics, it's all about taking characters out of the toy box and playing with them.
Sure.
This is about finding a new character to put into the toy box and making it someone that other people will want to play with.
Right.
So it was a lot about finding a unique handle on the character that made him distinct from everyone else in the Bat family in particular, but also in the DCU.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, that's why, you know, the basis behind the character is all about running. He doesn't want to be a hero. He wants, like, what he wants is a normal life, and it's like, but his life over and over forces him into these horrific situations. He's never been free in his life. So that kind of search for freedom, I felt, was something that could really make the character distinct from page one.
Sure. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, that book got canceled, which was a bummer. Is there any chance of him maybe coming into Batman Eternal?
We've definitely been talking about where Calvin Rose might fit into the story of Eternal. You know, it's Eternal's a big story, and there are lots of little corners to play with. So.
And it would be such a waste to not have him somewhere.
Yeah. So we'll see how what happens in the final act of Batman Eternal. So.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Are there any up-and-coming artists or writers that you're really excited about that maybe aren't as predominant right now?
Well, I'm a big fan of the webcomic scene, and I have been for a very long time. And that's, you know, back in especially high school and college when I couldn't afford, like, I was still reading comics, and even though I couldn't afford them, but those were the books that, not the book, but, like, those were the strips that really, like, kept me invested in the medium. And I'm really happy that the comics industry seems to be picking up on that. My favorite webcomic out there is Meredith Grand's Octopus Pie. It is an absolutely incredible, incredible thing. And she recently did Marceline and the Scream Queens for Boom Studios, their Adventure Timeline.
Sure.
And, you know, and then there are a lot of other people who are sort of coming out of that world and into the more mainstream comics world, like Noelle Stevenson. I think her work is absolutely incredible. Those are some people that I'm really, really excited. In terms of the more mainstream stuff, I think Trad Moore is going to be one of the greats of the comic book world. And, you know, I like, the first two issues of the all-new Ghost Rider are just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
I couldn't agree that the art and that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Batman Eternal is such a huge story. How did you guys come to the decision to write such a big story for Batman?
Well, I mean, it was almost by necessity. They came to us about whether or not we were interested in doing a weekly comic book series, which, you know... That seems crazy. It seems absolutely crazy. I thought I was, like, signing my death warrant by agreeing to do it, and it actually has turned out to be such an incredible experience working with all of these guys. And that's really what... But when you have a story that's going to last 52 issues, you need a story that that cannot be told unless you have that space.
Right, exactly.
So that's why we wanted something that... really could break, we have all of Gotham to play with, and we wanted to take the toys out and break them, and do things, because, you know, a story like this, you want it to do things that people have never seen before, and that's so important, and you want to take all of the elements of the status quo that make Batman very comfortable, and you want to destroy them. So that's why in, you know, the first issue, it takes Jim Gordon off the table. And we knew it. The first issue needed that kind of moment. It needed a moment in which we would absolutely, like, you know, destabilize Batman in a single blow. And that, and I feel like we did that. And now we're going to enter a much more dangerous Gotham City. And that's not the last, you know, that's not the last piece of the puzzle that we're going to sort of, you know, use to destroy Batman's life a bit. So,
and it's not even just Batman himself that's actually, you know, I mean, obviously Barbara or Batgirl's going to feel it.
Oh yeah.
As well. So
yeah. So
yeah. With Batman Eternal, you're kind of reintroducing existing characters. You know, Stephanie Brown. Not to be a spoiler, pun intended. But, are you guys at all like kind of afraid that maybe? Since she hasn't been in the New 52, you know, you guys bring it, it may not be what people want. I love the spoiler. I think all of us do. We're really excited for it. Are you worried about that at all?
Not particularly. Yeah. It's the goal of reintroducing her is because she has an incredible fan base. And, of course, the fan base is going to want the character that they know and love to be the character that they see on the page. And we are much more concerned about building her into that character, again, in front of a much larger audience that could make... we want a whole new generation of spoiler fans, Stephanie Brown fans. And that is the goal of the whole Stephanie Brown storyline in there. Is, you know, because in the past, part of the issue is that, you know, aside from the... Like, even with the Batgirl series, it's, you know, her character is so steeped in continuity. Like, her origin story isn't something that is a trade you can pick up on the shelf. It's in it's like partway through arcs in the old Chuck Dixon Bat books in the mid-90s. So, you know, we wanted to build her up from the ground, but keep her true to her core. And we feel like we're doing a really good job with that, and I think that at the end of the day, we're going to end up with a lot more Stephanie Brown fans who will be clamoring for her to stay a part of the Bat books for as long into the future as we can.
I mean, I already pulled for her, and she's only been in, two issues so far? So, you know, three if you want to count Batman. But so I like to ask this for anybody that's ever been involved in Batman, and obviously you are. Where did you first come into the character of Batman? You know, what did you grow up with?
I mean, I grew up mostly with Batman the Animated Series. My first encounter with Batman would probably have been Batman Returns, the movie, which I was a little too young to see and all that. But no. I like weird, creepy things, so it actually
worked out.
So that's really where I came into it. But it was Batman the Animated Series is where I fell in love with Batman. That still is the core, like, I still think it's the truest, most central vision of Batman that's ever been, like, you know, put in any medium. So that's where I can come from.
Absolutely. You guys got anything else?
Are there any other characters that you haven't been able to write yet that you would like to write for either company?
Well, I'm very, very excited to get the chance to play with some of the characters in the X line because, like I said, I was an X kid. But you know, I think that in Batman Eternal, the character I am most excited about sort of taking the lead on his story is Tim Drake, because Tim Drake is my favorite character in comics. He's the Robin I grew up with. He is my all-time favorite comic book character. So having the chance to make an impact on his stories in the comics is incredible.
Awesome. I feel like Tim Drake's sort of like the Donatello of Batman family. Like, it's either Dick Grayson, some Jason Todd, and then Tim Drake's off on his own, I guess.
But, yeah. But, you know, he's the end-all be-all to me.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with James Tynion IV. Be sure to check out his new book, The Woods, in comic book stores now. And on May 30th at Comic Book University in Indianapolis, Indiana, they're having a special signing with Kyle Higgins, who wrote Nightwing, and he's writing Batman Beyond and The Cowl. And the artist on The Cowl, Alex Siegel. We spoke to Kyle Higgins last week. You heard the interview. Really awesome guy. Definitely come and support his work and support Comic Book University, who does a lot to support us. And just come and have a good time. Same time as PopCon is going on that same weekend in Indianapolis. So come to Indianapolis, enjoy PopCon, and then Friday night come out to the signing at Comic Book University. Should be a really good time. Let's see what else. We'll have our books of the week up on nerdmanagement.com this week. Unfortunately, we kind of ran out of time to cover all of the awesome books that came out this week. Swamp Thing 31, Future's End number 1, Detective 31. Just so many things came out this week that were awesome, and we just don't have enough time to talk about them all. So check out nerdmanagement.com for our book reviews for our books of the week. That about wraps it up for us on Nerd Management for this week. Make sure you check out our website, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Oh, and nice marmot.